السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah. We seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, from Adam, and created from it its mate Eve, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. Before we continue with our questions and answers, I just wanted to say, for those people who have given me questions and I have yet to answer them, I don't have the answer for them, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best. Today, we're going to start off with some questions around buying and selling, and we come to the question, is it permissible to buy or sell blood? Is it permissible to buy or sell blood? And we have the hadith of Abu Juhayfa. إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حرم ثمن الدم. I forgot who collected this hadith. This hadith is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. وأبو جحيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it haram to buy and sell blood. And this is the verdict of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The reason I mentioned this question, it was personal. The days in Medina when it was a struggle financially, we used to go to the hospitals and to donate blood, to have some money to buy books and whatever we needed. Then, and we had heard that some people were saying that it was haram to sell blood, and we thought that, is it? And nobody actually brought us the hadith that time until later on. I had come across this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which makes it very clear that it's not permissible to buy or sell blood. So whoever wants to donate their blood for the cause of the sick, or the people who are in need of the blood, and the people can donate it, but it's not permissible to buy and sell blood, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited that. The next question, show us some types of buying and selling that are haram. Show us some types of buying and selling that are haram. The first type we have is the type called al-gharar. And this gharar is an unknown type of deal. And I'll try to explain after this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, collected by narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن بيع الغرر. That the Messenger of Allah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited the selling with gharar, and this hadith is from Sahih Muslim and it's authentic. This is to sell something that's unknown or that it's not really known. And the ulama, they give an example. You have a river in your backyard and you said, I'll sell you two fish in my river for $50 or whatever. Or you have some pigeons. You know, the people who raise these pigeons and stuff, they let them fly in the sky and they come back home and stuff like that. I said, I'll sell you two of my pigeons. They're up there flying around somewhere. One of them I want this price for, the other one I want that price for. The ulama, they also give the example of a piece of clothing that's in a bag. And they say you didn't see it and the bag wasn't open. I got a thobe in this bag, the size of it is such and such and such and such. I'll sell it to you for this price. This type of buying where the thing isn't really known. It's not there, it's not known, you didn't see it, feel it, touch it, know what it is exactly, except from the statement of the person, then this type of deal has been prohibited by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And maybe inshallah ta'ala, if it comes to some of the brothers or the sisters at the end, they could give us some examples of our time of these types of buying and selling that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made prohibited, so that we would have some examples before us to know to stay away from this or that because it falls under this category or that category. The next type of deal that's haram is the bay'ataini fil bay'a, the two deals in one. And this is from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, collected by Abu Dawood, and it's authentic. نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن بيعتين في بيعة. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم prohibited two deals in one, or two transactions in one. And we have one of the narrators of the hadith, Simak ibn Harb, who's in the chain. He explains what this means as he says, I will sell you this for cash money right now for this price, and I would sell it to you on a payment plan for a larger price, where the price is raised according to the time that it takes to pay it back. This type of deal, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has made prohibited, and this is the type of deal that's very common in America. Well, tell them, listen, I sell you this car, inshallah ta'ala, I'm selling it for $1,000. Brother said, I don't have $1,000 with me right now. Why don't we work this out? Give you $800 now, $200 next month, and then $200 the month after that. Give you $1,200 for it. This type of increasing the price because of the time to pay it has been prohibited by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, that the deal is the same or the price is the same, whether he can pay you all of the money now or it takes some 5 months to pay the money, that the price has to remain the same. Or, as in we see from the other narration, that which is extra, that is paid from the original price, is riba, as the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in one of the other narrations. That you have the choice of the lowest price for the longest period of time, or you have riba. You have the option of taking the longest period of time to pay, with the shortest price, or you have riba. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us that this type of deal is not permissible. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the next hadith mentioned a few types of deals that aren't permissible, and this is from the collection of Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and the books of Sunan, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, لَا يَحَلُّ سَلَفٌ وَبَيْعٌ وَلَا شَرْطَانِ فِي بَيْعٍ وَلَا رِبْحَ مَا لَمْ يَضْمَنْ وَلَا بَيْعَ مَا لَيْسَ عِنْدَكَ. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's not permissible. It's not permissible to have a loan and a purchase together. And it's not permissible to have two conditions on one deal. And it's not permissible to profit from that which you can't guarantee that you can produce. Nor is there a sale of that which you do not have. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this authentic hadith collected by the people of Sunan is explaining a few types of deals that aren't permissible. And the first one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that you can't make a deal of a loan and a purchase. Listen, I'll buy that car for you for $500 if you loan me $600. So you give me the $600 plus the car, I give you back $500 for the car, and then I owe you $600 in the future. This type of deal with a loan and a sale at the same time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prohibited this type of deal. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prohibited this type of deal. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned two conditions in one sale. This two conditions in one sale, the ulama, they give the same meaning for it of the hadith that we just mentioned. The two transactions in one, I'll sell you this for cash money right now, or I'll sell it to you for a higher price on a payment plan over a period of time. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited this type of transaction also. The next prohibition that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions is to profit, that is prohibited to profit from that which you can't guarantee. You know, sometimes I have the businessman, he may have a deal with a certain warehouse that has a product available. He's going to say, what you want? You say, give me one of them sweatsuits. I want size large. He don't have size large. He's saying, alright, give me $50, I'll get you size large, inshallah. Why he's saying he's going to sell it to you? Because he got a deal with his man. But he didn't make any deal and he didn't buy anything, he didn't own anything. How could he sell you that which he doesn't have? He can go to his warehouse and they say, well, we don't have it. Or if he has it, it didn't make a difference, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prohibited this type of deal. Because you can't guarantee him that your warehouse has the stock or whatever, or so on and so forth. And Allah knows best. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited, and this is the same meaning of this one, in essence, that he prohibited the sale of that which you don't own. If you don't own something, you can't sell it. You can't sell another brother's car. You want to buy this car, I'll give it to you for $2,000. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prohibited us from selling that which we do not own. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited in this hadith a loan with a purchase. If you loan me $500, then I'll sell you this car for $400, or I'll buy your car for you for $500, or what have you. Prophet ﷺ had prohibited that. And the Prophet ﷺ prohibited that which we have mentioned in the hadith before, two purchases or two transactions in one. I'll sell it to you for this price, cash money, or I'll sell it to you for that price, a higher price,
on a payment plan. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prohibited this. And then the Prophet sallallahu prohibited the profit of something that you can't guarantee. You're not sure, you know, the warehouse is in New York. You're going to go make your pickup tomorrow. You don't know if he's still going to have the product. He's not going to have the product. You can't take somebody's money and buy that for him and actually make the deal for them on something you can't even guarantee for the person. And the ulama say this is the same thing that the Prophet ﷺ is actually meaning in the last part of the hadith where he says, there's no sale of that which you don't own, that which you don't have. Sometimes, and let's not confuse this with a merchant, he has his own warehouse. He doesn't have the merchandise on him. He has it in his warehouse like some of the bigger businesses may do. They might have somebody on the street selling, or the person might be selling. But he got his stock in his house. And he carries what he could in his car or his van or what have you. And then he says, oh, you want size large? Okay, I'll sell you size large. He doesn't have it with him. He has it at home in his warehouse. This is permissible because he has it. Even though he doesn't have it with him, he still owns it. And this is the word that I was looking for. You can't sell that which you don't own. So long as you own it, it's a part of your property, even if it's not on your person, then it's permissible for you to sell that. I have it at my house, bookshelves, for example. I can sell them to whoever I like. Because I have them, even though I don't have the bookshelf right here to say I'll sell it to you for $25, but I can say, you see this picture right here, as they do in the catalog thing. You show the picture and you say, I'll sell you this for $50. Because I'm owning it and I can sell it to you. But if I'm showing you a catalog of something I don't have, and I see some of the people, they do this, they have a catalog of stuff that he can go buy and then sell it to you. What you want, Aki? Yeah, I can get you that. All right, I'm going to give you the money on something you don't have. The Prophet ﷺ had prohibited this type of deal. Yes, no.
The mail order businesses now, for example, that have these consortiums of businesses, for example, they may be connected with a number of other businesses. In other words, they want to buy this particular item. They have it in their computer banks where they say, for example, we want to get this particular item. And then they go through, if they don't have it, then they go to the next company whom they have a contract with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Since you have an agreement with those other companies, et cetera, to produce this merchandise for you, is it allowable then to make that particular transaction or?
The brother is explaining some detail. I wish he could have mentioned it. You want to repeat that?
Yeah. Nowadays you have businesses that are consortiums. They have warehouses or else they have agreements with other businesses, corporations to produce a particular item for you. When you give it to them, I may not have it in my warehouse. I have an agreement with another warehouse that may be the warehouse that actually manufactured and produced that particular item from the beginning. And on demand, on my demand for that particular item, they have to produce this particular item, or they have to say, for example, whenever we get this particular item, we're going to mail it to you. How does that fit into that scenario?
It goes back to the basic point that was mentioned, as the Prophet ﷺ said, there's no sale of that which you don't have, that which you don't own. When they're doing this catalog thing and they have these warehouses and whatever, do you own that product you just sold to so-and-so? Not that someone can produce something for you. What he's producing, do you already own it? If you own it, for example, I might have 300 bookshelves. In my house, I only can house 10 of them. A brother is holding the rest of them for me. I can sell those in my house, in my own warehouse, and I can sell those in the warehouse of my brother holding my product, because I'm selling my product.
However, if I got a deal with my brother that he's going to sell me such and such, if I need it, if I get customers that want such and such, I don't own that which he has. It goes back to the basic principle of not selling that which you don't own. If you own it, you can sell it, and if you don't own it, you can't sell it. So the issue of, this will go on every type of company and catalog and whatever, and this is why we were mentioning before that the people shouldn't name the types of deals that take place, but they should describe the transaction so that we can see if it's permissible or not permissible in Islam. So whatever transaction that we describe, if it comes down to the bottom line being the person who sold it didn't own it, then it's not permissible. If the person who sold it owned it, then it's permissible. And we know at the end of it, he's going to own it. For example, like I could say, you sure you want to buy that thobe? Then you give me the money, I run to so-and-so, buy it from him, then come back and give it to you. When we made the deal, I didn't own that which I sold to you. And this is what the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, is prohibiting.
No, but if you don't know that when you order it, then you're not responsible, of course.
Yeah, Jazakallahu khairan. He's saying, if you don't know that the company is doing this or the person is doing this, then of course there's nothing against you. Alhamdulillah, the sin is on the one who's doing it. The sin is going to be on the one who sold you that which you didn't know. And if you know that you were buying something that the person didn't own, then you would share in that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
If you're working for somebody, like if I got a business, and you come to me and you're a businessman, and I ask you to get people to buy a certain product from you, and you go to somebody and you say, okay, I have this, I can put my hands on this, a certain product. You say, okay, you give me the money, and I get it. I mean, it's like I'm working for the owner. Is that okay? I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's becoming a little tricky in a way. Alright, if he's the employer, the employer doesn't own anything. And the real, like you at the cash register, at Pathmark or something, they don't own any of that stuff. They made the deal with you. They didn't really, they didn't sell you anything. Pathmark sold it to you and they're working to help, you know, in the establishment, you know, has people and workers and all of that. That no, that doesn't take away from it. If that's the case that he's working for you, like one of these cashiers are working for the company, and that they aren't actually really buying and selling, they're just doing a job, then alhamdulillah. Because the person who's selling, you're actually selling it, what you own, through your employer. So you own it, and you're selling it to the people. But if that person who's kind of working with you, whether, I don't know if you want to call him an employer or whatever, so he's doing like what I'm just saying. He said, I'll sell you such and such. He don't have anything. Then he come back, no, check it out. You want to sell me such and such? I need a couple of these. Then he's making, really the deal is between him and that person, not between you and that person. Like if you buy something from Pathmark or ShopRite, the deal is really between you and Pathmark or ShopRite, not that employer there. If the deal is between you and the big company that owns the product, who owns it, then it's permissible. If it's between you and the person who doesn't own anything, then it's not permissible, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Just one more point, and that's, for example, when you call these mail order places, you say, I'm sorry, this item is out of stock. Okay. Then, of course, you already sent your money for the item. Then you're waiting for that particular item. It's almost like an agreement, you know, for them to produce this particular item. I mean, you got my money.
Yeah.
Now you have to produce this item, or you have to send me my money back, or else they tell you, well.
Yeah, I see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and from this, To me, this is just the personal way I see it, that a lot of these catalog places, that they're selling that which they don't own. That they're selling that which they don't own. They know they don't own it, but they know this is a good way to make money. I mean, one of the best ways to make money is to sell what you don't own, because there's no loss in it for you. And we see this even during our times, unfortunately, among the Muslims. They're trying to take the money from you on something they don't own. Akhi, how in the world I'm going to rent a place from you? You don't even own the place. I'm giving you the money, you giving it to the Jew to get your cut, talking about you looking out for me. And really, this has happened among the Muslims, unfortunately. And they think that we've acquired buildings and what have you, and we're taking the people's money and so on. Something we don't even have ourselves, we don't even own it. We haven't even signed a contract. And it's cool, too, because you ain't put no money down. I take your money, give me this, I'll get this for you. If I can't get it, like those places, those catalog places, if they can't get it, they still got your money to play with. Let me see what I can do, flip it here, turn it there, send you back a letter. Yeah, I'll get it, inshallah. Flip it. Send you another letter, maybe. Really, I can't even get it, take your money back. He done made about a couple thousand off your money, take your money back. He's not going to lose anything. So in the eyesight of the kafir, it's definitely a good move for those people who are actually doing the deal. And maybe this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibit this in order to safeguard the innocent people, and Allah knows best.
This principle of not selling what you don't own. In America, we reduplicate everything. We find that even people that have copyrights on things, and copyrights is the process of owning that which you write or or whatever. People think it's okay, and I find a little bit falling into reproducing things that...
Yeah.
Is this the same principle?
Yeah, this seems, and the brother is giving a nice example. Inshallah, this is underneath this, on this issue of the copyright thing. Someone has a tape, a book, an invention, or what have you. That's his, he owns it. No one else owns it but him. Someone else goes and duplicates that thing and sells it. He's actually selling that which he doesn't own, because the person never gave anyone the right to sell his thing. And that all sales have to go through that person who actually owns it. And that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that that's a part of selling that which you don't own. And I think we were giving the example just the other day. Someone said, I bought a tape. I copied it, and I sold it to my friend. We tell him, how are you going to sell that which you don't own? He said, that extra tape I copied, I own that. Told him, no, you don't. You own that one you bought. You own that because you bought it. That other one, when you duplicated it, that talk that was on it, it's only yours from the first one, not the second one. So how are you going to sell somebody else's thing? Just because you have the ability to take advantage of it, because the person can't stop you except by his word of mouth, don't do that, that you can go out and do it. But this seems like the same thing of selling that which you do not own. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Other of the ulama, they say that this thing is a type of stealing. That really, you selling somebody else's product. You know, it's like you selling his car for him. So long as he can't catch up with you, you're okay. And really on this thing of duplicating, a lot of times you can't catch up with the person or who's doing it, or you can't stop him or what have you. So he's actually selling that which he doesn't own. That work that he did, that work that he's selling isn't his property. He didn't do it, he didn't own it, and it's not his for him to be selling. But it's the person who owns it for him to sell, and if the person makes a deal with him, then he's okay, and if not, he's not okay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
When is the sale final?
When is the sale final?
Yeah, in other words, when you own it, it's yours, any sale.
We're going to deal with that, inshallah. Sorry.
But
wait a minute. If that's the end of the question on this hadith, then we can make this the next point.
Okay.
No, going back to that, you can get permission to sell, like what he was talking about with the copyright and some of the curriculum. You bring it to his attention. He gives you permission, like with the tape. Then you can sell it.
If you get permission to sell something, you become the employer. Like those people at the cash register, they selling Pathmark food like it ain't nothing. Okay, they got permission from Pathmark to sell that food. They don't own it. They're not selling it. You can imagine those people work at the cashier. At the end of the day, they take all of that money and leave. Oh, no. We got to deal with you. You get $5 an hour, $3 an hour. You don't take all of that money in there because you sold it. Why? That stuff you sold wasn't yours. And the same thing when people reproduce these tapes or books or inventions or whatever. You selling, yeah, you sold that and you collected that money off of it. But the original thing wasn't yours anyway to be collecting that money just like that. Well, these seem to be the same, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As far as the issue of when does the sale become final, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim says, and this is one of the narrations, as Bukhari brings a few and I think Muslim brings a few narrations, where he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mutabayi'ani kullu wahidin minhuma bil-khiyari ala sahibihi ma lam yatafarraqa illa bay' al-khiyar. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the buyer and the seller, each one of them two, they have the choice of the deal. Let me say it this way: the deal isn't complete until both of them separate, except for the deal where the person has the choice. Let me try to say that again. The Prophet ﷺ is saying that the buyer and the seller, both of them have the choice of allowing the deal to go through or not to go through so long as they haven't separated. For example, we sitting down right here together, I'm at the brother's table. How much is that though? $50. I'll give him the $50. Oh yeah, I'll take one. I ain't going nowhere, I'm still at his table, I'm checking it out. No, I don't like it, I'm gonna take it back, give me my money back. So long as I haven't left that brother's table and went away, we separated from one another, then the deal is not, final. The deal isn't final until the switching, everybody agrees, the money is paid, and then they both have separated themselves. That separation shows that the deal is final. And we have from the example of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they said that when he used to buy something, when he was there, he would hurry up and leave just to let the people know, this deal I just made is final. This deal I made is final. So the deal doesn't become final until you leave the place of the sale. Until you leave, actually have left the store, you left the area where the brother is selling at, or something like this. The brother can't tell you, you step away from his table a little bit, you didn't leave the market area. You just stepped away a little bit to check it out, see what's going on, and then you give it back. You still have that choice so long as you haven't separated. You haven't left the area where this buying and selling is actually taking place. So long as you haven't left that area, the deal isn't final. It becomes final when you left that area. It becomes final when you left that area. Final meaning, like it or not, it's yours. Final meaning, like it or not, is yours, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has detailed for us in this hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Except, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, except for the deal, the bail khiyab, the deal where you give the person a choice. You say, how much is that though? $50. I give you the $50. Go ahead, akhi, if you don't like it, it don't fit you right or whatever, bring it back. That deal isn't final until whenever it becomes final. Yeah, if it's okay, I keep 3 days later, 5 days, whatever. Yeah, I like it. I like the way it fits, everything. I think I'll take it. Or when he comes back, no, I don't think it. It's not finished until he finishes it. Why? Because you had given him the choice of not finalizing it until a particular time. You want to sell the car. He gives you the money, you sell it. If you don't like the way it drives, you don't like the handling, whatever, you give me my money back. All right, he drives it around for a couple of days or something. No, I don't like it. He brings it back. Of course, in the same condition that you gave it to him. And so if the person didn't state that you have the option to bring it back or not, then that deal is final once you two have separated from the place of the sale. This is what I was going to say. This was the next point we're going to go to. And that is that the only time it's permissible to bring back something after the deal has been finalized, if there's a defect, there's a defect, something wrong with it that wasn't really apparent or didn't really show itself at the time of the sale, then it's permissible to bring that thing back. And this is from some general text, as the ayah we had mentioned from Surah An-Nisa, when we mentioned the two conditions that every deal has to have, and that it, both parties have to be pleased with the deal. From the statement of Allah, وَلَا تَقُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. And do not take one another's wealth unjustly, except on a business transaction where both parties are in total agreement. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, don't take them people's money unjustly. And then he says, except that both parties are in total agreement. If you sell me something, I get it home, I realize the thobe got a hole under the sleeve where you couldn't really see it. At first you put it on, you were showing your wife, mashallah. She noticed, wait a minute, got a hole up under there. Okay, you're not pleased with that. And that buying and selling among the conditions is that you were pleased. And had you knew that thing, and you were had the ability to be aware of it, then for sure you wouldn't have taken it. And then the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had added, and this is usually the case of having a defect in something that you didn't see when you bought it, from the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahih Muslim, من غشنا فليس منا. Whoever cheats us is not from among us. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said this hadith as he went to the marketplace and he saw some nice rice. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dug his hand in it, and the bottom of it was wet and soggy. Messed up. So the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever cheats us is not from among us. Because when you see it on the top, it looks nice. And then he sells it to you, and then the other stuff is messed up. Really, as the Prophet ﷺ has showed us that you can't cheat anyone. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said that we don't take the people's wealth unjustly. And that the people have to be in total agreement on both sides. And our Shaykh Murad Shukri, hafizahullah, he said that in general, the scholars of Islam, they say that it is permissible to bring back what you bought if it's defective, and that the person has to accept it from you. This is what the ulama say in general, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Unfortunately, this has become common, at least among some of the Muslims. As I remember, we used to buy some of our fruit, and they used to buy them in boxes. You can see the top of the box, but you can't see the bottom. The whole first top layer of apples are good. He's talking about, look at them. I said, I now want to see on the bottom. Oh, I'm going to lie to you? I'm a Muslim. Muslim going to lie? I'm telling you it's good. All right, you buy it, you get it home, it ain't no good. You bring it back, I ain't pleased with this stuff. He says, "Al-bay'ani bil-qiyari ma lam yatafarraqa." That the buyer and the seller, they have the choice to accept or refuse so long as they haven't separated. You went home and came back. What you talking about? This is taking the people's money unjustly. And it's not permissible in Islam, though they have that so-called technicality. They have a technicality by saying, you left, right? You saw, you was happy when you left. Ah, why are you not happy now? I mean, how would I have been happy if I knew that they had them rotten oranges in there that you were talking about? and you didn't mention it to me because you knew I wouldn't have been happy and it wouldn't have been no deal. This type of technicality has no place in Islam. As we were mentioning earlier, this is what the Jews, they used to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited one thing. They did it in another way to make the technicality so that they can say, see, we were obedient as we had mentioned before with the example of not fishing on Saturday. That they throw their nets in Friday night, pick them up Sunday morning, and say, no, we wasn't fishing on Saturday. What you talking about? Friday, we went to the water. It's permissible Friday night, isn't it? It ain't Saturday. Okay, Sunday, all day Saturday, we was home cooling out while the nets were filling up. We weren't doing nothing. They were filling up by themselves. The ocean is big. Fish can go where they want to. They just chose our net. Sunday morning, we just came out to our net, found it filled. I mean, what you want me to do? I go to my part of the river where my net is. It happened to be full on a Sunday morning. I'm taking it home. All right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed those Jews for playing with the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the people who sell, they should know if something's wrong with it, it's in a package or whatever, they want to sell their item, and then the person comes back. You had the option of returning it so long as you were there. You looked at it, you checked it out, seemed like it was good to you, you left. So here we see that the ulama in general, that they say if it is defective, that you have the ability to return it back to the original owner, even though the deal was finalized. Because if he didn't take it back, he would have taken your wealth unjustly. And he would have cheated you, because had you known that thing, you wouldn't have agreed. Okay, if someone's going to tell you, I'm going to sell you as is. I have a nice piece of clothing, but it has a hole in it. The hole in it is in a place that's not really visible. You say, mashallah, nice material, excellent deal. I can work with that hole. It's in the sleeve. Get my wife to patch it up. Nobody will notice it. To get that sold for that price, I got to take it with the hole in it. Okay, if the person agreed to buy that thing defective or used or what have you, then the deal was complete and finalized. This is different than the defect being found out later on. And you didn't know that it was there at the time of purchase. Then you realized it and you took it back. So if this is the case, it's permissible to take it back. As many of the ulama say, based on this ayah, don't take the people's wealth unjustly from Surah An-Nisa. And from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever cheats us is not from among us. As far as the people who say, I bought it while it was in the bag. That ain't my company. I don't know what's in it. It's not permissible for you to buy what you don't know. You don't know what's in it. It's not permissible for you to buy. And that those people who package the thing, either they're going to give you the chance to take it back because you don't really know what's inside it and you can't see it, and so on and so forth, or you just going to agree that whatever in that bag, I accept it like that. Then it would seem that the people would be taking the people's wealth unjustly if they sold them something in a package and it looked like it was okay, as everything in the package as everything in the package looks new, even if it's bricks. I was just thinking about that. Yeah, how they try to sell you those bricks in New York, you know, in a new bag, and it looks okay. But you can imagine if you catch them, you know. At any rate, no one would doubt, inshallah ta'ala, that if it was in the package or whatever, and it turned out to be a smaller size than it appeared. You thought it was a 60. It didn't fit like the other 60s you had or what have you. It seems that if the person who sold you that didn't want to work with you by taking it back, then he would have taken your money unjustly, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is a few of the purchases that aren't permissible. Let me add this last one from the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض, and don't let some of you sell over the selling of your brothers, or buy over the buying over your brothers. And we had the lecture on that. This hadith is in al-Bukhari and Muslim, or one of the two, if not both of them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is prohibiting, if I bought a thobe from a brother, I gave him $25. I gave him the money. A brother came up to me and said, give him his money back. I'm going to give you the same thobe for $20. What you going to do? The same thing for $20? Why not save your $5, give it to your children or something? This isn't permissible for the Muslims to buy and sell over their brothers. Once your brother has made a deal with somebody, you can't come behind him and make that deal over top of him. Akhi, don't take his. I got the same thing for a better price. Or I'm going to give you more for that price. I'm going to give you thobe and the pants for $25. It's not permissible for the Muslims to buy and sell over their brother Muslims. And this isn't negating the point of competition. This isn't negating the point of competition. Abel throws $25, throws $25. The other one is saying $20, $20. Everybody has his product. He's hollering out his prices and whatever. And the people walking through the marketplace area, they have the ability to stop at whoever they want to and hear whatever price they want to and to buy. But for someone to be over top of his brother, it's not permissible. And we had given some examples, like it's not good enough for you to say, you're saying $20, $20, the brother's saying $25, $25, you're selling the same product, they going to the brothers with $25. Because the brother got $25, he's known. Good business manners, good character, good deen, trustworthy, everybody's been doing business with him. You got the deal for $20. You saying, how in the world people going to him? I'm shouting out $20. So you send a little runner over to his table. Listen, my man selling the same thing for $20. So that the people can realize the mistake that they're making. This isn't permissible for you to go over there and to sell over top of your brother. Because whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed will be. And sometimes people would buy $25 instead of $20. Just because that brother is more known. His character, his business ethics, or what have you. Or just because sometimes, man, he's selling the same thing for $10. Must be fake. Or something. And everybody's going to him. And you can't imagine that people would pass up. So you try to go over there and tell him, listen, I went over to Arabia with him. I made Hajj with him. I was at the same store he was at. We bought it together. And I'm selling it to you for $10. You can't go over top of someone. When someone comes up to you, to your table, to your store, to your business, you tell them what you want to tell them about your product as you're trying to sell your product. But you just don't go and place your menu in somebody else's food store next to his menu. This has been prohibited by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The next point we wanted to mention. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, the brother's asking, suppose I bought it for $25 already, and I was content with it. Then I'm walking around the marketplace, checking out the other brothers, seeing what's available. I see the same thing. Now I want to run back and take it back to the person I got and then go to this. If you bought the item, you finalized the deal, you agreed, he agreed, everybody was agreed, you were happy, you left to show that the deal is final. When you go back to take it back to get it for that brother from $20, he's going to tell you, you're looking for something? He's going to say, yeah, I want my money back. The brother's going to tell you, no, I don't want this old for no $25. I'm a businessman. If I sell it for $25, I pay $10. I'll buy it back from you from $10, but I ain't give you no $25 back. You bought it, the deal took place. So really, only in America, because of the business ethics of the disbelievers, that they give you 30 days to take it back and stuff like this. This is on them. They gave you 30 days to finalize the deal. And I used to be the one who took the best advantage of this. You know, I remember, alhamdulillah, I was in college in the States during the times of sports, the big games and stuff like that. Used to have the credit cards. Was a Catholic. Go to the stores, go to Macy's, get the big one. Bring it to the college campus. Tell everybody, yo, I got the 30-inch. Whatever. I mean, now they're bigger than 5 feet TV screens. But then you get a big 30-inch color TV. Everybody come to your room. You know, you cool it out on campus. Then, when the season is over, the playoffs, whatever, is over, a couple weeks, you go back and take the TV back. I want my money back. What was wrong? I had enough of it. That's how they take it back. Anyway, you can take advantage of it. But I mean, if for Muslims, he sold you something. And this is the best way to get the best of the system. They sold you something. He didn't give you a chance to say, if you like it, bring it back whenever. You made the deal. If you saw something else, you can't come back and then take it. You just, whatever. But also, if it happens, for example, I went over to the other table, I said, don't buy from him, come over here, my boy's going to give you a better deal, and the person actually went. From what I know, the sin is on the one who did it. When I pulled you, I was really the one that sinned. Is that person who left himself a sinner or not? If he knew, maybe he would fear the statement of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, and don't help one another to do sin and transgression. So you might be helping him to do it, even though you're saying, I'm going to get a better deal, or whatever. If someone wants to get a better deal, then we know how to do it. You just shop around. If you want to get the best deal, just shop around, see what's there, and then make your decision.
And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala knows best. The other point we wanted to mention, that came up before, the issue of setting prices. And some people feel that if an object is known to be about $15, that no one has the right to come and sell that for $6. No one has the right to come sell that same object for $6. And some of the people, they feel that this is bad if someone came to the marketplace and sold something for this price. That was extremely low compared to the other people's prices. And that this known price is the actual price setting, agreed upon indirectly from the people who sell. For example, you might see that everyone has a particular type of thobe, or jilbab or niqab for the women. And everyone's selling that niqab for $5, everybody's selling that jilbab for $50, everybody's selling that thobe for $20. It's almost as if the vendors fixed the price on that thing. Nobody said it, but you see everybody doing it. Or maybe it's a price range. The niqab is between $5 and $7. Whoever you go to, you're going to see that niqab for the women between $5 and $7. Whoever you go to for that jilbab, you're going to see between $40 and $55, for example. Whoever you go to for that thobe is going to be anywhere between $20 and $30, for example. Somebody else comes and makes that niqab $15, or $3, or $1. Somebody comes, he makes that jilbab $25. He makes that thobe $8.
unbelievably low. Some people feel that the prices have already been fixed. Someone doesn't have the right to come out and sell it for cheaper than that. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the hadith of Abu Dawood and other than Abu Dawood has addressed this issue with his statement sallallahu alayhi wasallam when they said غَلَى السِّعْرَ عَلَى أَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ سَعَرْتَ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْقَابِضُ الْبَاسِطُ الرَّازِقُ الْمُسَعِرُ وَإِنِّي لَأَرْجُو أَنْ أَلْقَى اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَا يَطْلُبُنِي أَحَدٌ بِمَظْلَمَةٍ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith where the people came to him and said, the prices have gotten too high. During the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so the people said, O Messenger of Allah, set the prices for us. Fix the prices at a certain price for us so that everybody could benefit equally or what have you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed Allah is Al-Qabil. Al-Qabil, Allah is the one that could take away from you whatever He likes. If everybody is earning a particular amount of money and Allah has you to earn less than the norm, then Allah is Al-Qabil that He can take away or restrict, withhold from the people that which He chooses, tabarak wa ta'ala. And Allah is Al-Basit, or the one who extends more. If the people are making a certain amount of money, and Allah blesses you to have more than that average, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Basit to give more to whoever He pleases. And Allah is Al-Raziq, or the provider, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala provides for everyone in general. And that Allah is Musa'ir, that Allah is the one that handles these prices and allows them to be whatever level that He allows the people to make those prices. And indeed, I do not, the Prophet ﷺ went on to say after that, and indeed, I do not want to meet Allah Azza wa Jal having someone asking Allah to take back his right from me because I oppressed him. Or as the Prophet ﷺ is meaning in this authentic hadith. Here we see that the Prophet ﷺ is showing us that no one has the right to set the prices or to fix the prices at a certain rate, and that whoever goes above this or below this is wrong. But that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has allowed the people to set the prices according to however they want to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He had wanted the people to be a part of that which is innate in human beings, to set the prices all at the same price, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created us this way. But Allah created us in the way that He created us, and that everyone would set the price the way that He wanted to, Allahu tabarak wa ta'ala. So when it comes to setting the prices, no one has the right to set the price or say this is the price, it should be that, it shouldn't be that price, and so on and so forth. Everyone has the right to do as he likes when he sells his or her merchandise. And that no one could set or fix the price or say that someone's undercutting the people or cheating the people or doing a bad deal for the rest of the businessmen or what have you, because no one has the right to set the prices. This is what we had to offer today. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Does the merchant have the choice of to sell or not to sell to whom he cares?
Does the merchant have the right to sell to whoever he pleases? Yes. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mentioned this from the beginning, the ayah, except business where both of you mutually agree. If you don't agree to make a deal with him, it ain't no deal until you agree. He can't make you sell it to him. I don't agree. And it ain't no transaction until you, the seller, and he, the buyer, agree on something. Without that, it ain't no agreement. I don't want to sell it to you. No, you have to sell it to me. You just laugh at him. How's somebody going to make you
Astaghfirullah.
I don't mean to say that to laugh at the Muslims, but I'm saying that no one has the right to force you to do something that you don't want to do. The one who is selling, he has the right to sell to whoever he wants to. And the one that's buying has the right to buy from whoever he wants to. And nobody can make you buy from him. Like some of the businessmen we used to see, if you go up and you're checking out that merchandise, how much is that? Yeah, ooh, that's a nice price, mashallah. How much is this? Yeah, I like that. Can I check that out right there? Yeah, I like that. Yeah, yeah. And you know, you 5 minutes, 10 minutes, he's helping you. Then at the end you say, Jazakallah khair, assalamu alaikum. You get mad, Akhi, I was here with you 20 minutes. I done showed you everything in my store. I done gave you the best prices of the day. How you going to tell me you don't want to buy nothing? No, nobody can force you and make you to buy something, because we have mentioned that the two pillars of this buying and selling is that both parties are mutually satisfied and they both agree on that deal that's going to be made. If both of the parties don't agree, then it doesn't take place, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes.
Could I, if I asked you, buy this book for $3 and sell it for 10?
Yes, the brother's asking, could he buy something for $3 and sell it for 10? Yeah, if you like. And this is what is, this is buying and selling, in essence. Any merchant, he buys it for a lower price and sells it for a higher price, and this is how everybody makes their living. You can imagine if you bought it and sold it for the same price. No one would make any money.
I was under the impression that
it's only a certain amount of profit that you could make from the book.
Not that. Let's say if I would have made the book with my hand, you know, buying it and all, and then sold it for that particular price.
Oh, now I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but I went and bought it from somebody, and then I want to resell it.
Yeah, I see what the brother is saying. You want to sell somebody, all right, the publisher or whatever, he's the one that's selling his book. He has his certain distributors that are selling that book. You say you want to buy your own and then sell it for a higher price and then don't give it back to that person. It's like this. We give an example that's closer to everybody's mind, astaghfirullah. But we know the kafirs, and we don't transgress the bounds when it comes to the kuffar at all. So I'll bring that example, so then when we translate it to the Muslims, we won't transgress the bounds. I'm a cashier working at Pathmark. Man, I wouldn't give them a lot of dollars tonight. Alright. I'm working at the cash register. I know they sell Tropicana orange juice, for example, for $2. Everybody that come, I'm going to sell it for $2.50. Pocket that 50 cent. Give him back his $2. If he found out, what do you think he'd do? Fire me, yeah. This is the same thing. Somebody is selling that which you don't own. You don't own that. That's not yours to sell. So if you bought it, that's your personal property. You know, that goes back to the original. You can't sell it. This is different than if the person was making you a distributor, like the publishers usually do. I'll sell you a couple of hundred copies for $5 a book, for example. He can tell you, sell it as you like. Or he can do as Abu Amina Bilal Phillips, hafidhullah, he usually does with his books. You selling it for this price in this country, you're going to sell it for that price in that country, or I don't want to sell my books to you. If someone makes a deal like that, then you have to either make that deal with him, or you can't sell his book. You buy it, it's your copy. You can do with the copies you buy what you want to do, but you can't earn a profit, because the profit from the books, they belong to the one who owns that book. And Allah knows best.
Even if I paid the money and bought the book from him,
yeah,
I still can't resell it for more money?
When you bought the book from him, that's your book to do what you want. You can give it away. You can burn it. You can do whatever you want to do. It's your book. But now, when you resell it for a higher price, you're making money from somebody else's thing that it's not yours. That one who owns that book, when he's selling it to the people, He's selling it to them to make his profit. If someone's going to black market it, for a better lack of better words, and to sell them at a higher price above that which the publisher had made the deal with, it seems like he's taking the profits from that publisher. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. He just rephrased that one more time.
It's okay. Someone is sports, but he makes a livelihood in a sport. Let's say boxing or tennis. Is that money halal?
Is the money that a person who plays sports, is the money that he makes haram? Like a basketball player. He makes a contract with somebody. All right, he gives them that service, they give him that money. Is that haram? Not that I know of. I don't know that to be a haram transaction. You offered someone service and he paid you for that service. Yeah, this question is a little loaded if you're saying he's a boxer or whatever. If somebody's thinking that the thing is haram in itself, then of course that which stems from it is going to be haram. For example, we had mentioned the example of the pig. I'm going to be selling the pig for the money. I bought it, and then I'm selling it. Buying and selling is permissible. Buying and selling of the pig is not permissible. So offering a service and getting paid for it is permissible. Then it's going to come into, is that particular sport permissible or not permissible to play, and all of that. Then the verdict is going to stem from that. But me, myself, I don't have any verdict on these issues of sports being haram to play for basketball team or boxing or whatever. And if the ulama, they have something to say, I'm not aware of what they said on this issue.
Is there anything that says with the Muslim, like discrimination, like with the Catholic, like goofball, like they can't, in other words, they can't discriminate against who they sell. In other words, it has to be open for everybody. Fall in the same jurisdiction with the Muslims, that they can't discriminate against selling their product.
Yeah, the brother is asking, as the Kufar say, that you can't discriminate if you sell, if you buy and sell. And we were saying that the buyer, he has the right to buy from whoever he pleases, and the seller has the right to sell to whoever he pleases. Could some type of discrimination fall under this and make it impermissible or not? Anyone and everyone will know, the business people, they don't like this. And everyone feels that it's a type of oppression to tell them who you can sell to and who you can't sell, who you can hire and who you can't hire, and all of this, and that this is forcing on the people that which they don't have a right to force on the people. So I think that the Muslims have a choice to sell, buy and sell to whoever they want to, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes.
Agrees with the publisher, the writer, sell a book at a certain price. If he doesn't, if he don't make an agreement with the writer or publisher, can he sell it at the price that he desires?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but it's hard to rephrase all of it. Anyway, we didn't get to this type of selling that's prohibited, that the person from the city can't buy from the person coming into the city to sell until that person comes into the city to sell. For example, people bring their goods from outside of Newark into Newark to sell. You say, I'm going to meet him on the highway, make a deal with him before he get to Newark. Before he sees the prices in the city, I'm going to go make a deal with him. Prophet ﷺ prohibited that. And if a person is going to buy something and then sell it at a higher price, he's going to try to this is that type of undercutting that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited. He's going to try to go get something from him at a price and then sell it above, because he knows if that person came in, he would have sold it at a higher price. Like the brother, he said, I buy the book for $3, I sell it for $10. If the one who knew the deal that people would pay $10 for it, he make you pay $10 for it. Now sell it for $12. And if I knew you could get people to pay $12, I have them paying me $12. It's my book. So this is, it seems like, you know, if we keep on stretching it, that it might even stretch to that point. I wrote this question down. This is what I understand. Right now, and I said that inshallah ta'ala I'm going to ask some of the people of knowledge to see if there are any other ways to understand this, to come out with some different type of answers, maybe to make it okay or whatever. So this is what we see, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. Yeah, we answered that one.
I don't know, maybe it may be a different question. Oh. I purchased a tape, and let's say a brother wants a copy. Do I have a right to give him a copy or sell him a copy without permission or by legal permission?
Yeah, that's the exact question that we answered earlier on in the class.
If I'm the buyer, is it permissible, like when I'm dealing, to say, look, you know, I saw the same thing over in Brooklyn, and my man was selling it for, you know, $5 cheaper than yours. If I'm the buyer, is it permissible for me to mention that I saw something cheap in order to get a bargain from the person I'm buying it from?
Yeah. The brother is asking if the person who's buying, when he's going to a particular person, he's saying, listen, your price too high, I saw it with so-and-so at a lower price. Is this permissible? I don't know anything that would prohibit it, and I hope that no one finds anything. That would prohibit it. If the brother is mentioning another point, and he said, of course, unless the brother is lying, that he's trying to trick somebody into thinking that somebody is selling it for a lower price in order to get a lower price, and he doesn't mean it. We didn't mention all of the different types of sales that weren't permissible, but we had mentioned in the lecture the Najish, where I'm bidding, I'm saying, whoever gives me the highest price for this book, he can have it. I got my man in the audience, he say $10. Somebody else say $15. My man gonna make sure he keep the price above everybody. Then when he see, look like I done stretched him enough, just back off. You got that. This type of thing, he don't have no intention to buy. He just wants to keep that price up for his man. That this type of raising of the price is prohibited. And it seems like this is doing the opposite thing by tricking the people into thinking that there's a lower price in order to get something. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is what we have time to offer, and we might as well just repeat. If you make that copy, that isn't your property to make that copy, and you're selling or giving away that which you don't own, and it's not permissible. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.